Jerry Bader Show 936. I believe we need a scientific, social science research study. There's a new phenomenon that they need to study. You know what it is? Actually, there are a ton of them. You know, the way people are using mobile devices, the wearables that are coming, all of that, and how that impacts society. Here's another one. Binge watching. Watching a TV series several episodes at a time because you can. Netflix is the biggest provider of this, but there are other ways to do it too. But Netflix is where most people is doing it. Over the holidays, I caught up. You know what I caught up on? I think I mentioned this on the air. A lot of the original Mission Impossible series, including season one, where Stephen Hill was Dan Griggs. It wasn't Peter Graves as Jim Phelps. You can just watch the next one, watch the next one. Here's the thing. Only recently have they started producing TV shows with binge watching in mind. The Netflix original series, Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, those were designed with binge watching in mind. That was, and it's a whole new type of writing. You're not writing it thinking necessarily the person will wait a week because they dump them all at once. I am now binge watching the seasons of Dexter that I missed. Okay, Dexter was not designed by Showtime to be binge watched. It was to be watched 1 week at a time, a week in between. That's what looks really weird when you see the previously on Dexter, because I just watched it. I know what it was. That show is really heavy duty. I just finished binge watching season 5. For those of you who are fans of the show, that's the one with Lumen. The woman that escapes the rape murder club and briefly becomes a serial killer with Dexter. I mean, it's to watch that. I watched 3 of them last night. Back to back to back. That show wasn't designed for that. Over the last 50, 60 years, and even going back to radio, television programs were written to be watched with a week interval, not to be watched back to 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 back. So now you can watch anything back to back to back to back to back, even the old ones that weren't designed for that, and the new ones that are. Orange is the New Black, very graphic, crude prison series. You know what it's like watching Captain Janeway from the Starship Voyager drop F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb in prison? Kate Mulgrew is in that series, Orange is the New Black. I just say it's something we've never had before, where you can just this, especially new ones. I still think, by the way, that is the way of a video in the future. Is complete and total on demand. The problem is, like with many new things, including online newspapers, they don't sell advertising. Netflix doesn't give up, they don't give up their subscription numbers and view numbers of shows like Orange and House of Cards because they don't have to. They don't advertise. They don't sell advertising. If that model is going to supplant the current model, then there's got to be some revenue stream that doesn't exist right now. But I mean, it's really, I'll tell you one thing, I just feel tired. I wanted to start season 6. I'm like, no, I can't. That show's fatiguing because the protagonist is a serial killer. The antagonist usually tends to be other serial killers, which makes the show kind of weird. Well, it's weird anyway, but that's another weirder element of it. Just throwing that out there. One final thought on the look at revamping the playoff format for the NFL. A listener says you'd win your division and not make the playoffs. No. See, that's where this gets confusing. They're looking at two possibilities. One scenario where you keep a division winner, but the division winner gets no home field advantage. Not built in anyway. Home field advantage, You would still, let's take the Packers again. The Packers and the 49ers. The Packers would make the playoffs by winning the NFC North with an 8-7-1 record. But under one proposal, they then would have traveled to San Francisco because San Francisco had a 12-4 record. The argument being a 12-4 record should buy you more than an 8-7-1 record, even if it doesn't win you your division. The other option would be to do away with divisions entirely and seed entirely both conferences by one loss records. I'm not sure how I feel about that. If you keep the same number that you have, maybe it's not such a bad thing. You know what I mean? If the same number of teams are making the playoffs that do now, and then one through whatever is just ranked by record, you know, that way you don't go 14-2 and end up going to an 8-7. Jason says they're sounding like they're changing just to change. I don't know if I agree with that. What they're trying to do is create what they think is a better system of fairness, that if you have a dramatically superior record to another team, you shouldn't have to travel to that team. This was enunciated by two cold weather teams, the Packers and the Steelers, getting two teams either warm, if you want to call San Francisco warm, but certainly not used to very cold, and a dome team. Well, Jason says leave well enough alone, but I get the fairness part. That you go 12-4 or 13-3, and then you have to go to an 8-7-1. Well, I get what they're saying. I'm not saying I support it. I just understand. I get what they're dealing with there. But because both, it's been, I think, rendered moot for now. Because both New Orleans and San Francisco did win. The teams with, and I'm just going to be honest, in both cases, I think the better teams won. I do think San Francisco was the better team, particularly with the injuries the Packers had at that point. And Jason says, well, see, that's where was this talk when the Packers went on the road in 2010? That's exactly right. That's what highlighted this. The Packers had to do it the hard way. A number of teams have done it, quote-unquote, the hard way. Giants. Didn't the Ravens do it that way? Well, yeah. Steelers. Yeah, Steelers. And Steelers for sure. Ravens too. I know the Steelers did. All right, enough of that. There's a feature on the show that we haven't employed in a long, long, long time. In fact, I don't know if we did one in 2013. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't think we did. Do you think we did one of these in 2013, Jason? If we did, we did like one. Yeah, maybe we did. Yeah, you know what? Because we knew it was in the system, in our new system. This would be a doomsday report.
Tell me over and over and over again, my friend. You don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
This, of course, would deal with global warming. The global warming kooks are just, they're freaking out because they know they can't explain the bitterly cold weather that's gripping or has gripped, that's finally easing that grip on most of the continental United States. So they're trying to blame global warming for that. Wausau Daily Herald has been particularly guilty of running pieces from the kooky enviro left. But they even have outdone themselves with a piece that posted yesterday afternoon from Kent D. Hall of Stevens Point. Kent D. Hall of Stevens Point is a member of the Central Wisconsin chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby. Jason, this really is a doomsday report. Wait till you hear this thing. This is an opinion piece on climate change, and it's potentially dire effects on the survival of life on Earth and human civilization. Last November was the warmest on record for Earth. Worldwide, 2013 was the warmest non-El Nino year on record. How do you like that little qualifying? And the fourth warmest year ever, and I'm even skeptical of that. But as I write this, we're experiencing an Arctic blast that will be among the coldest in the 46 years I've been in Stevens Point. I don't think he's right about that. I actually don't believe he's right about that. Anyway, amazingly, both weather extremes can be caused by global warming. Increasingly, scientists are blaming these extremes on an undulating jet stream. Arctic sea ice normally maintains a straight, fast jet stream, but as the ice has decreased, it's thought the jet stream slows and undulates, a behavior seen especially in the past 3 years. This is all bunk. This is just nonsense. Wedges of cold Arctic air can ride one of the prongs of the undulating jet stream, creating the extreme cold we're seeing. Now, he referred to it as an Arctic blast. I used that phrase the other day. We have had Arctic blasts forever. I remember a Green Bay meteorologist getting in trouble for the way he described this phenomenon 20, 30 years ago. He basically referred to it as the polar cap couldn't hold its bladder. So the cold spilled. Actually, it's pretty good in that. It's really what it is. But in Green Bay in the 1970s, apparently you weren't supposed to remind people that they had bodily functions, apparently, back then. I don't know. Anyway, this is all fantasy. Now, this is where we get to the doomsday part. Worldwide, we're in a sea of hurt relative to climate change. The concern of many scientists is that we'll create a situation that will kill all life on Earth. I share that concern. Ironically, most of my adult life, I've laughed at religious doomsdayers standing on street corners with signs that say, "The end of the Earth is nigh. Get right with God." Now I see those signs as potentially prophetic. They ran this crap. So what are some of the concerns with global warming? According to ThinkProgress.com, leading climate scientist James Hansen, recently reported that global warming, listen to this, global warming damages the Earth every day as much as 400,000 exploding Hiroshima A-bombs. Don't you think you'd notice that? I think we would notice that. I don't think there would be a lot of debate if global warming was causing damage on a daily basis equivalent to 400,000 atom bombs that exploded over Hiroshima. And yes, I call it Hiroshima and not Hiroshima because I believe that's the proper pronunciation. Currently, we're experiencing an extinction crisis, a human-induced one that's accelerating. A total of 150 to 200 species per year are going extinct. Really? Which ones? What's causing it? And it goes on and on and on. Big oil and coal companies and their lobbyists know carbon emissions cause global warming, but won't admit it. They know no such thing. I should get this idiot on the air and have him try to explain the theory. This is when you're desperate. And by the way, Kent D. Hall, you don't mention that climate change has paused global warming for the past 15 years. For the past 15 years. That wouldn't surprise me. We're told he's a professor at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. We'll confirm that during the break, but I don't doubt that at all. I have to get this moron on the air. I have to get this guy on the air. Will you concede, and he wouldn't, I'm sure, that there hasn't been global warming for 15 years? I am going to try to get this kook on the air. This is what they're doing. Because clearly weather patterns have changed, just as they changed in the 80s and 90s and got warmer. Now they're getting cooler. So this has just become so shrill as to sound like absolute, well, they've always sounded kooky. Now they just sound like absolute nuts. It's 9:50.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.